Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. When Suffolk County DA Dan Connolly held that press conference last week and told the world her name was Bella, Anthony, didn't it feel as if finally we had a name to go with that haunting composite image we'd all seen? You know, the artist rendering with the little girl and the tender round cheeks and her long lashes and those big brown eyes.
Yeah, it really did. And it's true, Meghna, when you say that we'd all seen that image. The baby doe composite was on billboards all around the Boston area. It was even on TVs all over the world and viewed more than 60 million times on social media. So it was really everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, there was just something about that picture. So imagine how the artist who made the image felt when she heard her name was Bella, and then when she saw a real photograph of the toddler for the first time.
Well, the artist who made that image is named Christy Andrews. She's a forensic artist at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and we spoke with her just a little while ago.
Where were you last week when you first saw the actual photo of Bella Bond?
I was sitting at my desk, and I received an email from Carol Schweitzer, the case manager. You know, we found Bella. Come over to my desk as soon as you can. And I jumped up, and she was on the phone with the detective, and we had images we were looking at, and, you know, a small crowd was kind of gathered around her desk.
And when you saw Bella's actual picture, what was your first feeling and thought?
I had been actually thinking about her all week, and the first thing I thought was, it looks very similar to the reconstruction that I created.
Yeah. And what were other people saying who were gathered in that small crowd around the desk?
I mean, everyone was kind of excited, and you know, you're starting to look at this real person that you now know who she is, this little Bella. Then it starts to sink in who this little girl was, the sadness of the gravity of the situation. So it's kind of a weird mix of emotions all happening at once.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine what it was like for you, because for us, the rest of us, the millions of people who saw, literally millions of people who saw that reconstruction that you created, whether it be on, you know, the billboards on the highways here in the Boston area or over social media or television screens, I think the first thing people thought was, oh my God, she really did look like that. I mean, I'm looking at a side-by-side pictures right now of Bella's actual photo and your reconstruction, and the first thing that I'm drawn to are her eyes.
It's a very strange feeling as a forensic artist. You know, we're tasked with bringing life back into this composite of this person. And so, you know, it's almost like you're putting a puzzle back together. So the technical side of my brain is analyzing everything. You know, what did I get right? What did I kind of miss? What did I sort of hit? On the flip side, the emotional side of my brain is processing, you know, a million miles an hour, who this is, you know, the reality that, you know, unlike a missing child, can't give her life back. You know, we can't do that, but we can, you know, we can bring her justice, hopefully. You know, ultimately, our goal is to give each unidentified person their name back. You know, they're a number. They're just a number until we figure out who they are. And we have so many cases, over 700 currently, cases just like Bella. And so we want 700 plus names.
Yeah. But let me ask you, I mean, like you said, there's the technical part of your brain and the emotional part of your brain. And if we can spend some time with the technical part of your brain, how did you do this? How did you create this reconstruction? Because I think the first time we all saw it, you know, back in June and early July, it was just almost breathtaking, because I literally thought it was a photograph at first of the missing child.
And I think that's what kind of strikes people first and foremost. You know, people are expecting a sketch. And, you know, when we receive morgue photos to do reconstructions of, you know, oftentimes we can clean up the actual morgue photo. But if there's too much trauma, you know, we can't put that image out publicly, and so we'll create a from scratch image. And so we're using online stock photo references, and I'm basically pulling different facial features and then compositing them together. And so that's where this realism comes from. We're doing everything in Adobe Photoshop. It allows us to create these composites with a little more detail and also speed, because you know, we wanted to get Boston PD this image very quickly. We wanted to have a quick turnaround. You know, Photoshop allows us to do that.
So just to be clear, so you actually had, though, morgue photos of the body, right? But you couldn't use those. But you used, those were references on, like, what sort of what eye shape to use from the stock photos and things
exactly.
like that? Well, I've read that you've told other journalists that once you sort of feel like you've got the eyes right, that everything else falls into place more rather quickly. Why do you think that is?
You know, we connect as people. You know, when we talk to each other, we generally look at someone in the eye. And I usually start with the eyes, even if I'm drawing someone's portrait. You know, if you can capture the eyes, you know, you get that little spark.
You know,
and I did notice those, you know, in looking at the morgue photos. It was one of the first things that I noticed were her eyes.
In the morgue photos, her eyes were open?
Slightly.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people, once they saw Bella's actual picture, wondered, like, how could the community have gone this long without someone having seen that and recognizing that it was Bella? I mean, some people had, but they didn't call it in, et cetera. But a lot of neighbors in the Dorchester community had, you know, they've told reporters over the weekend that, yeah, they may have seen the composite, but at least according to them, they didn't recognize Bella in the picture. So I'm wondering, for you as an artist who puts these together, even though it does seem very close, what do you think you didn't quite get right?
You know, sometimes we think, you know, a facial restriction or an age progression, it can look very similar. And, you know, sometimes the artist will say, I don't know if I got it just right. There's so many factors, and you just, you know, I'd love to be able to read people's minds and see why they did or did not think it looked like her, or why they maybe didn't call, like you said. I could say maybe they didn't want to think that it could actually be her. I'm personally satisfied with the composite that I created, so I can only do my best as a forensic artist and hope that the right person sees it.
Right. I've read that you've told other reporters that, you know, you're not creating a portrait, but you're creating a law enforcement tool. And I completely understand that and respect that, because that is what it is, you know, first and foremost. But on the other hand, I mean, you said earlier, like, you're trying to give an identity. You're trying to help tell the story, give a face literally to these children who are missing and exploited. And you're doing it hundreds of times over. I heard you say that you still have, 700 open cases?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of
an... And going back to, you know, is there something that I feel I could have improved on so that maybe someone would have recognized her earlier? It's, with this case, even though, you know, this composite didn't necessarily, you know, somebody didn't see it and go, oh, I know, that's Bella Bond. The purpose of it, you know, ultimately kind of changed. Just like you said, it's a tool for law enforcement. And even though the composite wasn't something that somebody may have recognized her from, it kept the case, the momentum of the case, open and going.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself, for me, means that it worked.
I mean, I hope I'm not reading too much into this, but I wonder if, you know, you spend time in a, like, really tender, intimate way with these images and pictures of these missing people and missing children. Do you sort of take that work home with you? Do you end up feeling some kind of connection to these people, to these children?
I would say yes. You know, you're staring at someone's face, you know, for hours on end and recreating. You're either aging them or creating a composite of them, and you're wondering, you know, where is this person? Who is this person? And, you know, you go home and yeah, I definitely think about them. And, you know, and last week, you know, I had been thinking of her case and thinking, I just have a feeling this might go on for years. Like, what if, you know somebody knows what happened to her. Like, what if these people never say anything? You know, will they keep this secret for the rest of their lives? Will they eventually confess to what happened? And then, bam, out of the blue, you know, we get this call.
Well, Christy Andrews is a forensic artist at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. She created that composite image that we've all seen of the little girl who was once known as Baby Doe and who last week was identified as Bella Bond. Christy Andrews, thank you so much for speaking with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.